91, The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
On today's program, you will hear stories from Dan Novak and Andrew Smith. Jill Robbins presents this week's Health and Lifestyle Report. Finally, Katie Weaver and I take you on a journey to Big Bend National Park in the state of Texas. But first,
Russia halted on Monday the UN negotiated deal which lets Ukraine export grain through the Black Sea. Russia ended the deal just hours after Ukraine struck Russia's bridge to Crimea. Russia said two civilians were killed and their child wounded in what Moscow called a terrorist attack on the road bridge. The bridge carries supplies for Russian troops fighting in Ukraine. Russia said there was no connection between the attack and its decision to suspend the grain deal. The Kremlin said there was a failure to meet its demands to put in place a separate agreement, easing rules for its own food and fertilizer exports. Russia's foreign ministry said it would consider rejoining the grain deal if it saw results on its demands. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky said Ukraine wants to continue grain exports without Russia's safety guarantees. Even without the Russian Federation, everything must be done so that we can use this Black Sea corridor. We are not afraid, a spokesman for Zelensky said. The explosion on the road bridge to Crimea could seriously affect Russia's ability to supply its troops in southern Ukraine. Images showed part of the road bridge had collapsed and traffic was halted in both directions. A parallel railway bridge is still in use. Blasts were reported before sunrise on the 19-kilometer bridge, which Russian President Vladimir Putin ordered to be built after Russia seized Crimea from Ukraine in 2014. Ukraine has long said that the bridge was built illegally, and its use by Russia for military supplies makes it a target. It was last hit by a large explosion and fire in October. Any delays in exports resulting from Russia's suspension of the Black Sea grain deal could increase food prices across the world. That could affect poor countries the most. Ukraine and Russia are both major suppliers of grain to developing nations. The grain deal was praised as preventing a global food emergency when it was negotiated by the United Nations and Turkey last year. The deal halted a blockade of Ukrainian ports by Russia. The suspension of the deal on Monday led to an increase in wheat prices of about 3% in trading to $6.81 a bushel in Chicago. The price fell later in the day. Experts do not expect more than a temporary increase in global food commodity prices. Finding suppliers outside Ukraine that are farther away could also raise costs. The grain deal guaranteed that ships would not be attacked entering and leaving Ukrainian ports. A separate agreement permitted the movement of Russian food and fertilizer. Western sanctions do not apply to Russia's agricultural shipments, but some companies might be unwilling to do business with Russia. Now, it is important to watch if Russia weaponizes its wheat exports, said Simon Evnett. He is professor of international trade and economic development at the University of St. Gallen in Switzerland. Being the world's largest wheat supplier, Russia could increase its export taxes. That would raise world grain prices, as well as allow Russia to finance more of its military campaign in Ukraine, Evnett said. He noted that Moscow already raised taxes this month. The grain deal has faced problems since it was first put in place. Russia pulled out briefly in November before rejoining and extending the deal. In March and May, Russia would only renew the deal for 60 days instead of 120. The amount of grain shipped per month fell from a high of 4.2 million metric tons in October to over 2 million metric tons in June. Inspections meant to ensure boats only carry grain and not weapons also have greatly slowed. I'm Dan Novak.
New research suggests humans lived in South America at the same time as giant sloths, big animals that disappeared thousands of years ago. The findings support evidence that people arrived in the Americas thousands of years earlier than once thought. Scientists looked at small pendants made of bony material from the sloths. The pendants have round holes in them and look polished. The team of researchers said the pendants show signs that humans made them. The scientists published their findings in Proceedings of the Royal Society B. They reported that the material in which the pendants were found dates from 25,000 to 27,000 years ago. We now have good evidence, together with other sites from South and North America, that we have to rethink our ideas about the migration of humans to the Americas, said Miriam Pacheco. She is a co-writer of the study and an archaeologist at the Federal University of São Carlos in Brazil. Some earlier theories had suggested the first people arrived in the Americas around 15,000 years ago. The pendants were found 30 years ago in the Santa Helena rock shelter in central Brazil. The new study is the first to carefully study them. The scientists ruled out the possibility that humans had found and made them thousands of years after the animals died. Instead, they say the pendants were made within days or a few years after the animal died. We think they were personal objects, possibly for personal adornment, said Thais Rabito Pansani, a co-writer and paleontologist at Federal University of São Paulo in Brazil. Once among the largest animals in South America, giant ground sloths were 3 to 4 meters long and usually walked on all four legs. They weighed more than 450 kilograms. Other evidence from Mexico suggests humans may have been present in the Americas around 26,000 years ago. Discoveries from Uruguay suggest humans were living there 30,000 years ago. The evidence from more than one place means scientists have begun to rethink their ideas about human migration. This includes the idea that the first people in the Americas came over what is known as the Bering Land Bridge around 15,000 years ago. Brianna Pobiner is another co-writer of the study. She is a paleoanthropologist at the Smithsonian Institution's National Museum of Natural History in Washington. While some early populations may have died out in the Americas, it's very likely that multiple waves of people came to the Americas, she said. I'm Andrew Smith.
Another experimental Alzheimer's drug has been shown to slow patients' worsening conditions, researchers reported Monday. The American drug company Eli Lilly said it is seeking U.S. Food and Drug Administration, or FDA, approval for the drug donanemab. If approved, it would be the second Alzheimer's treatment for delaying the disease. Alzheimer's affects the brain and causes memory loss and dementia. The FDA approved Leqembi from Japanese drug maker Eisai earlier this month. Finally, there's some hope, right, that we can talk about, Lilly's Dr. John Sims told reporters Monday at the Alzheimer's Association International Conference in Amsterdam, the Netherlands. The drug does not cure the disease. Instead, it slows its progression by about 4 to 7 months. But Sims noted that it doesn't mean you can't have very meaningful treatments for patients. Eli Lilly published the full results of its study of 1,700 patients in the Journal of the American Medical Association. It also presented its results at the Alzheimer's Conference. Both donanemab and Leqembi are laboratory-made antibodies. The treatments are injected into the patients. The drugs target a protein buildup called beta amyloid in the brain of Alzheimer's patients. Both drugs come with serious safety concerns. Patients can experience brain swelling or bleeding. In the Lilly study, such side effects were linked to 3 deaths. Dr. Liana Apostolova was the study investigator. She is also a professor in Alzheimer's disease research at Indiana University School of Medicine. She said, "These side effects should not be taken lightly." But she added that in most cases, the effects were well controlled by monitoring with magnetic resonance imaging, or MRI, or by stopping using the drug. Lilly's study included people ages 60 to 85 who were in the early stages of Alzheimer's. Half of the study subjects received a monthly injection of donanemab for up to 18 months. The other half received an inactive substance called a placebo. Patients were also switched to inactive substances if enough amyloid cleared out. The study found that it happened to half of the patients within a year. Amyloid alone does not cause Alzheimer's, so researchers also studied the levels of tau, another protein that causes the disease in the brain. Patients with higher levels of tau are considered to be in the more advanced stages of Alzheimer's. The results. Both groups declined during the 18-month study, but the drug appears to work better for patients in earlier stages of the disease. Those with low to medium tau levels saw a 35% slower decline. For high tau patients, donanemab slowed the disease progression by about 17%. Anne White is the president of neuroscience at Lilly. She said, "At the end of the trial, the average patient had been without drugs for 7 months, and yet they continued to benefit." Scientists say that while these drugs may mark a new era in Alzheimer's treatment, huge questions remain about which patients should try them. Questions also remain about how much benefit patients will really experience. The main safety concern is brain swelling or bleeding. These conditions often cause no symptoms, but sometimes can be serious, even deadly. Another concern is that more than 90% of the study's patients were white. That means there is little data on how effective the treatment could be for other populations, said Alzheimer's specialist Jennifer Manley of Columbia University. Lilly expects the FDA to decide by the end of this year whether to approve donanemab. The company is also seeking approval from other health agencies worldwide. I'm Jill Robbins.
Just heard this week's Health and Lifestyle Report, presented by Jill Robbins. Jill joins me now to talk more about her story. Hi, Jill. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Ashley. Thanks for having me.
In the report, the study investigator, Dr. Liana Apostolova, noted the side effects of donanemab. The possible side effects include brain swelling and brain bleeding. She said, "These side effects should not be taken lightly." I was wondering if you could explain the phrase "taken lightly" for our listeners.
Of course. To take something lightly means to think it is not so serious. You treat it casually, without much worry. The reported side effects are serious, though, because they can cause death if they are not treated.
Well, thank you so much for that explanation, Jill. And thank you again for coming on the show today.
You're welcome.
VOA Learning English has launched a new program for children. It is called Let's Learn English with Anna. The new course aims to teach children American English through asking and answering questions and experiencing fun situations. For more information, visit our website, learningenglish.voanews.com. Today on our National Parks Journey, we head to the far western part of Texas. The landscape here is severe. The Chisos Mountains rise from the desert. The Rio Grande River cuts deep into ancient limestone rock. Cactus plants flower under the intense sun. Welcome to Big Bend National Park.
At first sight, Big Bend seems empty of life, but the park is home to many plants and animals. Over 450 kinds of birds can be found within the park, along with 75 mammal species and more than 50 kinds of reptiles. The park's diversity comes from its three different ecosystems. Within the park are mountain, desert, and river environments.
The Rio Grande sustains the park. The river starts high up in the Rocky Mountains. Melting mountain snow is its main source. It travels more than 3,000 kilometers on its way to the Gulf of Mexico. The river cuts through the dry Chihuahuan Desert. Big Bend National Park contains the northernmost part of this desert. It is the second largest desert in North America. Much of the desert is south of the border in Mexico. The Rio Grande serves as an international border between the United States and Mexico for about 1,600 kilometers. The park itself shares a border with Mexico for 189 kilometers. The Chihuahuan Desert is the largest ecosystem in the park. 80% of the park is desert. Animals like jackrabbits, roadrunner birds, and mule deer live in the Chihuahuan. Many cactus and yucca species thrive. These are succulent plants. Most succulents have thick, heavy leaves that store water. Cacti store water in their stems.
High up in the park's Chisos Mountains, you will find fir and pine trees, aspens and maples. Temperatures here are much cooler than down on the desert floor. The entire Chisos Mountain range exists within Big Bend. It is the only mountain range in the United States that is fully within a national park. Its highest mountains, Emery Peak and Lost Mine Peak, each rise more than 2,000 meters above the hot desert floor. The woodland environment in the mountains is home to black bears, mountain lions, and gray foxes. It is also home to many kinds of birds. Visitors are drawn to the park because of its rare and unique bird species. One of these is the Colima warbler. These small gray, yellow, and red birds arrive at Big Bend in the springtime to mate and nest. Then they return south to Mexico. In the late summer, mountain sage flowers appear. Hummingbirds, blue-throated, ruby-throated, magnificent, and Lucifer seek out these flowers.
Along with its plant and animal life, the park is also rich in cultural history. Archaeological records of humans in the area go back about 10,000 years, beginning with the prehistoric Paleo-Indians. Later on, the Chisos Indians lived here, as did the Comanche and Jumano people and other native groups. Spanish explorers began to arrive in the area in the 1500s. They were searching for gold and fertile land. They described this land as despoblado, or uninhabited. Much of what is now Big Bend National Park was Mexican territory until 1848. Mexican settlers farmed and raised animals here. In the early 1900s, many Anglo-Americans began settling in the area.
Big Bend became a national park on June 12, 1944. It covers more than 320,000 hectares. President Franklin D. Roosevelt established the park just 1 week after D-Day. That is the day American and British troops invaded Normandy, France. As America's attention centered on World War II, Roosevelt established a new national park for future generations to enjoy. For several years before the park was created, hundreds of men worked to build roads and trails to prepare the area for visitors. They built the 11-kilometer road that leads to the Chisos Mountains Basin. A basin is a large area of the Earth's surface that is lower than the area surrounding it. Today, the basin is a popular place within the park. Visitors can stay in the Chisos Mountain Lodge there or at campgrounds. Many of the park's hiking trails begin near the basin. One of the most popular is the Lost Mine Trail. It starts near the Chisos Mountain Lodge. The trail goes up sharply through forests of pine, juniper, and oak trees. The 8-kilometer-long hike passes by lookout points for viewing Casa Grande Peak, one of Texas's major mountains. Hikers can also enjoy a view into the park's Juniper Canyon.
More than 300,000 people visit Big Bend each year. Most come between November and April, when the weather is cooler. A favorite way to explore the park is by boat on the Rio Grande. Many tour operators organize rafting trips. Rafting trips take you through many kilometers of beautiful deep canyons. They may last half a day or several days. On longer trips, travelers sleep next to the river in tents. Another way to enjoy the Rio Grande is in its many hot springs. These are places where hot water flows up from underground. The water temperature is over 40 degrees Celsius. The river's hot springs are said to have healing properties. They hold mineral salts from the earth. Big Bend National Park has offered beauty, excitement, and recreational challenge to visitors for more than 80 years. It is a true treasure of Texas and the larger United States. I'm Katie Weaver.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. That's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak.